Hello, mi gente fabulosa. Estoy en una campaña para el episodio. The following is an ad. And I want to let you guys know that lately, if you guys been checking on my Instagram, I've been applying this lip balm. And this lip balm is called Hydra Balm. It's organic and it's also vegan. And guess what? I feel such a softness in my lips when I actually apply it. I think, you know what? I want to give you a tip. The best tip that you can do is when you go to sleep, and apply Hydra Balm. Yes, that's what I do. It calms and restore. It gives me healthier, fuller lips. And it feels like, strengthens my lip natural moisture barrier. Yeah, that is Hydra Balm. So check it out on my page at World at the. You're gonna stay in. Enjoy.
Okay, I am Joey D and I host the podcast Chumbita Chronicles. Y como dijo, y como fue, Chumbita Chronicles, say yes, I'm here with Amali.
Hola, Amali here from Ondas Podcast, and I am so excited to come to you with the first of its kind collaboration with Joey D of Chumbita Chronicles, and we are two Afro-Latinas coming together to unify and elevate and talk about the Afro-Latinx experience and how amazing and beautiful nuestra gente is. So tune in.
Ustedes están escuchando el show de Chumbita Chronicles. Que en este momento, antes de empezar el show, dale a ese botoncito de la plataforma donde estás escuchando este podcast para hacer el follow, seguirme, recibir notificaciones. Si estás en la plataforma de iTunes o Apple Podcasts, dale, entra y dale 5 estrellas a este show y deja tu comentario.
But how do we, we have a podcast. And I think that's an amazing thing. There's now more podcasts.
The community is growing, and I love it. The community is growing.
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the ways we can continue to change the narrative. But what are your thoughts around ways that we can elevate and change the narrative of being Afro-Latino? And you put this question out there, it's not a fad, right? This is not, it's not a joke, it's not like we're here, how do we change the narrative?
Well, I created the podcast because it was based on my own personal experience that I've been in places unseen spaces. I'm taking space, but I'm unseen. We're not usually appear to be in professional spaces or spaces that basically they would not think of somebody of color or, black or brown being in those, especially me. And that's how I created, but mostly what I wanted to create was more of an educational. And then what I wanted to demonstrate with my podcast is that the stories that we go through, that doesn't matter which path of life we come from, we all going through the same things, fear. We are undecisive. We have a lack of understanding of who we are. And then, bringing back also the knowledge of our ancestors, the heritage that we have. And that's what I decided to create Chumbita Chronicles. Chumbita Chronicles is a storytelling 101 about the experiences of being Black throughout this world. I focus on the people in the United States, Afro-Latinos, and I go from different ends. I talk to somebody that is an entrepreneur, somebody that is a musician, somebody that is, because I want to demonstrate that we are in different spaces. And we want to highlight a positive outcome of, despite what I was brought up or despite what I went through, I'm making it happen, and I'm serving as an example and educating other people. And that's what I like about my podcast, because then I'm not the only one that I'm going through this. And then bringing along that new generation to be exposed. I talked to this girl, Afro-Latina, finally found an Afro-Latina that works in Silicon Valley. She actually working for Google. And I was like, I know there has to be people that are going through that. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I agree. I think as owners of podcasts, but also as individuals going through the experience, you know, I think it's important that we continue to be the voice of our culture and continue to own it, you know, and talk about it. And like you said, use it as an education tool and elevate, you know, the stories and of influencers. I mean, all these people that you're talking about, to me, they may not have, you know, a gazillion followers, you know, on Instagram, but they are influencers, you know, they are people that are, like you said, striving, you know, rising, like you, Yovi, you know, you're doing it, you know, and so many people out there kind of raising the bar. And, you know, I think one cool thing, you know, that you did, and I see it happening, but I think more of it needs to come, you know, come to fruition is, you know, we got to cheer for each other and celebrate each other. So not only tell the stories, but when we see somebody else winning out there, we got to like cheer for them and like elevate their stories, you know, beyond, you know, just having them as a guest on our podcast, you know, because we're not going to be able to touch everybody. But when you see somebody winning, you know, yeah, I think we need to kind of like do that, you know, virtual embrace, you know, and you did that for me, which I thought was pretty awesome. You know, you put that list out there of like the top, you know, Afro-Latinx podcasters, and you reached out, you know, and I think that like more of that needs to happen, you know, where we're just kind of out there, you know, leveraging, you know, that unification factor, you know, that strength of like, we are advocating for each other.
Community, you know, building community.
That's right. You know, and I think the more we do that, honestly, the more I think we'll be able to break down some of these barriers, you know, and the marginalization and the inequities that are happening, particularly for the Black community, but also for our Latinx community. I think we could be the ones that are kind of opening that door, you know, by you know, putting that virtual hug out there, you know. Afro-Latinos understand the experience, you know, I think we understand it pretty well. I think we could really serve as conduits of change, you know, and bring the best of, you know, what makes people amazing, you know. When I don't know, I think certainly it's important that, you know, in addition to that, that we maintain our traditions, you know, you know, and I think that's another way for us to kind of keep the conversation going, keep us relevant, you know, and ensure that we're not looked at as a fad, because we're not. I mean, we Afro-Latin, particularly the Afro-Latinx culture, brings a lot to the table when it comes to, you know, food, music, language, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel like there's so much of that that we have to make sure we're keeping alive and keeping it going. You know, you're fluent in Spanish, I'm fluent in Spanish. I mean, first of all, my mom would kill me if I stopped speaking the language. But, you know, and it's hard because we live in a country where everything's, you know, and even in other countries, right? Like even globally, you know, the common language, you know, one of them is English, you know? And so like, it makes it very hard for us to kind of keep that alive. But, you know, I would say, I saw it early on and, you know, when I was younger, how valuable, you know, owning my language was and being able to speak Spanish. Certainly it helped me through those Shakespeare courses.
Oh my God.
In my Latin etymology class, you know, I was like, oh, I know these words, you know, because I knew another language and it helped me get through school. But I also think it's important in terms of the legacy we leave behind for future generations. You mentioned this, right? Like they should own, you know, I know there's a lot of like, you know, current, you know, Latinx gen, you know, folks that they say they're Latino and that's cool. And I think it's good to own and represent, but, you know, work on owning the language too, because I think that's such a valuable asset that we're
given. Do you think that because somebody doesn't speak the language, they don't stop being Latinos? Or
no,
Spanish?
not at all. I'm just saying keep it alive, you know, like keep that, that's part of our culture, right? Like we don't want our music to go away. No. We want to continue to be the influencers of music and food and, you know, all the traditions that come with it. And language to me is one of the unifiers for us, you know. I think that's one of the things that makes us such a strong tied, you know, community, and what could continue to elevate us going forward. But no, I mean, like, I don't think that that should be a determinant. I just think it's important. It's an important asset, you know, and it's like, you were born with this, you know, opportunity, like use it, you know, right?
Well, I mean, it's something like, oh, but you're bilingual, you should have more opportunities. I'm like, yes, in a way, no, in another way.
Right. No, I mean, for me, it's been great from a, not necessarily from a work perspective, because I don't really use the language at work as much, other than if I meet colleagues that are Latinx and we communicate in Spanish. But, you know, it's been great in the community, you know, and in the, you know, the boards that I serve on and things like that, and the PTA, the school PTA, and, you know, teaching my kids, you know, and things like that, and communicating with community members, you know, and sometimes, you know, I'm in the city, I'm on the train, and someone's lost, and they can't speak English, and they look at me,
and, you know,
they're like, hablo español, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I'm here to help you. So, like, it's like you feel like you immediately make those
connections. An advocate.
Yeah. An advocate. Totally. So anyway, that's kind of how I feel about language. I have like a, you know, for me, it's important. I think we should keep it alive.
Ustedes están disfrutando del show de Chombita Chronicles con su anfitriona, Jovi D. Quédense ahí. Regresamos después de esta pausa.
But tell me about, like, what are some of the new gen folks that are, you know, keeping the Afro-Latinx, you know, culture and traditions and, you know, keeping it going for us?
Well, definitely I want to mention, and she's like Negra Como Yo, is Gisette Rosas. She covers a lot of the Afro-Latino, Afro-Latinidad internationally, like through Latin America. She's from Venezuela. She's Afro-Venezuelan. I have this girl also from hashtag Me Enough, which I think she's Panamanian. Let's see. Yeah. Is that me? I'm Enough, which is, let's see. Her name. And I have that. I have, Jenny, as well. And then definitely we have to get a shout out to Dash Harris, which she forms a lot of workshops understanding the whole systemic racism, like how exactly everything happens. And she actually did one of the films called Negra. And she's a very pioneer. Black Tina also, Nadia Simone is right now in Oaxaca, Mexico. She's documenting a lot of all the Afro-Mexican, and she's pioneer. I know most of them are of Panamanian descent, but
hey, you know, listen, we gravitate to, you know, what's closest and what we know, but, you know,
and then definitely I think I have the podcast of Rocia Mercedes, which they talk about Afro-Dominican and Afro-Caribbean, and they're coming back with their second season. So it's like all of us kind of know each other, and then we kind of correlate, and I'm like, we're not competing, we're just contributing to the narrative of the story. So
I agree. I mean, look, I will say there's some OGs out there that still got it going on and still representing as current gen, you know, and folks that I interviewed, I mentioned Marco Davis earlier. He is Mexican and Jamaican. Okay. And is like deeply connected to both his Jamaican and Mexican roots, is also bilingual, like visits Jamaica with his parents, you know, also like, I mean, like both of his parents are very well connected with each other's roots as well. Like, it's just, awesome. It's amazing to hear him talk about that experience growing up, you know, but also an activist and you know, just someone that I just think
So he's like, you know, black
inspirational. IPs,
and then he has mole or something like
oh,
that.
Oh yeah. It's like, it's good eating. Yeah. La comida muy rica en esa casa, you know. But like, just, I mean, amazing to kind of hear his experience growing up and even going to school. He's a Harvard educated, you know, like understand, like was part of the, you know, the social groups, the social, you know, groups within the campus, both that represented the Black American, you know, experience, but also the Latino experience. He even jokes about a story where, you know, he was attending different meetings and people were like, wait, are you the same Marco Davis that was in the, you know, like, because he felt like he had to choose. He was like, yeah, I can do both, you know, I can represent both sides.
Yeah.
You know, so it's amazing to kind of hear his experience. Yvette Peña, you know, is just an amazing superpower in the marketing arena within AARP. And then we have Amara La Negra, you know, from an, you know, entertainer, but also activist and amazing community. Yes. You know, contributor, just someone that's doing a lot of great, very outspoken, particularly around, you know, the topic of race and colorism and again, how she continues to elevate, you know, the voices of others that look like us and look like her, you know, and the challenges that come with it. You know, these guys are amazing. They're thought provokers, you know, and they certainly find opportunities to not just shine a light on the negative and the challenges, but also bring up, you know, the beauty of the Latino culture, the Afro-Latinx culture. You know, in terms of new gen, I think folks like, you know, we're talking about hair, so I got to give it up for the gorgeous curly hair crew who are bringing Afrocentric beauty, you know, and you know, ensuring that people embrace, you know, their Afrocentric natural curls, natural hair, bringing that to the forefront, you know, folks like Shirley Tavares of House of Curls, Lulu Cordero, Bumba Curls, Carolina Contreras of Mis Rizos. Yeah. I think they are all Dominican, by the way. So shout out to my Dominicanas. And then, you know, the prolific musicians that are out there. I mean, like, I am just blown away by the, you know, the Afro beats, Afro-Caribbean, you know, beats that are coming through that are like funky, jazz infused, you know, not your typical salsa merengue, even though those are still thriving, you know, but, you know, groups like Sima Funk, you know, please check them out. They're amazing. Robert Alvarez, who I think is also known as Robert Nino, he's got an amazing, you know, what I'm calling the Afro-Latinx anthem, you know, but it certainly has gotten some global recognition as a Black anthem, which is called Negro. Check it out. But he's Cuban, and he's also a major activist and, you know, speaking up about the challenges in Cuba. Then you had Chocuatown, which they are, I think, from Colombia.
They are from Colombia, Goyo.
Yes, and they have this great song called Morena, you know, so like, again, like they're putting like the, you know, putting it out there in terms of like, you know, the beauty of the race and the beauty of our culture, you know, and making it like, you know, these are making it part of our lexicon, you know, like we're talking about it, we're singing about it, you know, we're celebrating it, we're seeing the beauty of it. And then you have like the corporate heads, you know, folks like Rosanna Durruti from LinkedIn and Megan Hogan from Goldman Sachs and Alicia Guevara, who's actually Big Brothers Big Sisters in New York, and then the poets and the writers, right? Elizabeth Acevedo. I mean, like, you know, the poet X, you know, and you know, individuals that are bringing the beauty of our culture through their writing. I also came across Melania Luisa Martes. I'm giving a shout out to you because I'm gonna come to you next. But I could go on, you know, like there's so many.
You can go on. I'm like, you have also the co-creator of Dominican Writers, Angie. Yes. Also, she's like, she's an amazing force creating too.
Yes. So a lot of amazing and great you know, current gen and future gen folks that I think are gonna keep it alive, keep the culture alive and keep it booming, you know, and you know, show up, and hopefully the community continues to, as you say, grow and get stronger. And then we talk about like our pioneers. Like, I don't know who you, you know, who do you, when you think about the pioneers, you know, who do you think is prominent for you?
Well, I'm going to have to say, you know, it's Celia Cruz, but then,
of course,
you know, and I've learned so much through this journey, and even some, but I can go back to somebody that was, he was living in Panama, which is Basilio, but Basilio moved to Spain, and he was one of those Black ballad singers. So,
yeah.
And then you have Oscar de León.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and then Johnny Ventura, may he rest in peace.
Yes, yes.
And it's like, you know, you learn so much.
And these are people that are like, they are definitely pioneers in that they were not just entertainers, like the people that you're talking about, right? Like they were like triple threats. You know, like, yes, they were entertainers, but they were also community activists, and they were also, you yes know, representing in so many ways. And again, just shining a light on what amazing influences that they've, you know, brought to the table from a historical lens, right? But also from, you know, the ongoing legacy, you know, that they continue to leave behind for us, and yes, and, yes, and that we can continue to carry forward. You know, I think about Arturo Schomburg. You know, a lot of people don't know yes about the history yes and how deep. I think that's one of the first.
And he's the forefather of all of this.
That's right. That's right. Prominent Black Latinx writer, historian, activist. I mean, he really exemplified, you know, what it meant, what the superpower of being Afro-Latinx. I think he's the first person to actually coin, you know, Afro, you know, Latinx. Right. Like, he didn't say Afro-Latinx.
Well, I want to
say
he, mm-hmm,
that's right. He said Afro-Boringueño. That was how he defined himself, you know? So like, I can't even imagine coming to the States, you know, someone that looked like him, you know, that had a Puerto Rican experience, to come into the States and, you know, define himself as Afro-Boringueño. And also, you know, represent and be so prolific in terms of the Black experience, you know, and how he was able to elevate it through, you know, through the connections and the work that he did, you know, even as being a prominent figure within the Harlem Renaissance, you know. So I just think, you know, it's amazing to go back and learn about these experiences, because they're not that divergent from the things that we're doing today in terms of why we're doing what we're doing, you know, and correct, why we're talking correct about, and why we think our culture is so special.
No, definitely. I agree. You know, he was one of those that really put it together. You know, once I end up learning the whole diaspora, how we really came together, you know, because the thing is that where I come from, I wasn't learning about that history. We all, most likely, we were told about the Columbus, you know, journey right and all of that. And I was like, that was nothing whatsoever.
It was a blip.
I'm like, that storyline was just so bad.
It was bad, and it was like a very small moment in time, you know, and I think the one thing that I love about Arturo Schomburg is that he was, you know, he was actually driven by a teacher saying to him, you know, that Blacks don't have, that they're not, that we don't have a history, and that we don't have heroes and people to look up to, you know, and so like it kind of like lit a fire under him, where for he just real started to do all this research, you know, and he brought about you know, the history of not just the Black experience in America, but like the Caribbean experience, the, you know, his experience growing up, you know, in Puerto Rico, and just kind of elevating, you know, the representation of the full diaspora, you know.
I don't know about you, yeah.
It's, I don't amazing know about you.
But I was a kid, and I could never believe, I never could conceive. I was like, no, I don't know what it was in me, but I was like, we don't come from slavery. I never bought into that. I never did as a kid. I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Right.
And here it is. Fast forward and prove it. And I was like, we're more than that. Everything yes. comes from, you know, from Africa. I was like, yes. no. That's I was like, that it was determined to, again, oppress us and make us feel less than, that's another story. But yeah. I was like,
no, but we've risen above that, and yes, we're very connected, and in fact, probably more. There were more African, African slaves brought to the Caribbean,
yes,
and so into what we call Latin America today, you know, than there were brought to the U.S. You know, what's referred to as the U.S. today.
Correct.
So it's very real. You know, I can't say that I was like, no, I'm not connected to that, but I learned about it certainly when I came to the States. It became mm-hmm. real, you know, when
yeah,
I came
when
to
college.
The States. Yeah. And college. Yep. And but you know, I wasn't, you know, it was more like an awareness, you know, than anything else. And so I think it's very important that our current culture and the generations, you know, that are, you know, growing up today, understand, you know, how deep rooted our history is with Africa. And also, again, back to the positive, which is that we do have folks that have shown up in an influential way, you know, in yes. history, and we do have heroes, and we do have pioneers.
Inventors. We have yes. so many things. Yes,
we have individuals that have definitely left a mark, and I'm glad that I'm here representing. I'm glad, Yobi, that you and I are connected, and that you're representing. I'm gonna.
Están escuchando Chombita Chronicles con su anfitriona Yobi D. Claro que sí. Quédense ahí. We'll be right back.
Hello, y como dije, otra nota más, si te gusta este podcast, compártelo con tu amigo, amiga, familia, tía, chino, perro, como sea, ya sabes cómo es la vuelta. Chao, chao.
Bring us back to a little bit of fun as we kind of close out, you know, the podcast, but, you know, I want to talk about, like, so you're from Panama, I'm from DR, PR, and, you know, I love hearing, you know, we were talking about language earlier, but like sometimes there's like words that I say in Spanish that, you know, I may have friends who are Mexican or, you know, representing other you know, other Latin communities, and they're like, what's that? You know, that's not what that means to me, you know? And so like, I'm curious to know, do you have like a slang or a thing that's prominent from Panama that you know, that you want to educate others about, you know,
Well, we usually greet each other. Panameños usually say que sopa. Que sopa means an X-O-P-A, mm-hmm. which is actually que paso. But we just always, like, you know, I guess Panamanian and Puerto Ricans are kind of competing with how many words we can distort. So que sopa is one of them. And then chanting means your house. Que vamos a tu chanting. Or it's like, you know, we headed to your place, or I'm leaving my chanting right now. And most of these words are really derivatives of patois, broken English,
mm-hmm. yep.
somewhere along the way.
Yep.
Like yep. chombita. Chombita is the connotation of the word chombo. It's actually young boy. John mm-hmm. boy. Mm-hmm. But somewhere the connotation got misleading in history, that if I call you chombo is a derivative of your facial expressions or how black you are.
Mm.
For Panamanians, it's not. It's a derivative that you call somebody culisa or trigueña, morena,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then I was like, no. I use this word as a connotation that I'm going to make it positive. It's the Chombita Chronicles. It's the narrative of a black girl. That's what
I love it. Oh my gosh, I love it. So que sopa?
Que Queso pa.
Queso pa, queso pa, queso pa. I'm going to say that now when I see you. Queso pa, Yobi. And Chati is my is home.
Uh-huh, mi chanti.
Mi casa, mi chati. Okay, I like it. I like it. Well, I don't have anything as cool as that, you know. I feel bad, but like my word, like, because it keeps coming up every time I'm talking to my
Dominicans
mom.
Dominicans come out with good stuff too, okay? Dominicans come with good stuff.
But this one word is like, it always like, it gets me going because my mom's like, I don't know why we use that word, but it's a vaina. And like,
vaina.
Yeah, vaina, you know, like vaina almost means like anything. Like, you know, like sometimes you could be like sitting in, you know, in a restaurant and like you want the salt shaker or something, but like, pasame esa vaina, you know, like, and you're like, just like, give me the salt shaker. Or like we use it as like a, almost like exclamatory, like, you know, like we're pissed off, you know, like, que vaina, you know, like, yeah, damn it, you know? And so like, I love that it kind of, it transcends so many different feelings. But I also think vainita is like a vegetable. It's like green beans. I want to say it's green beans. I don't know if it's Venezuela or another, you know, other countries. I know in DR we say vainitas, we're like green beans. But for the most part, we use it as like a negative, like que vaina, like damn it, you know, like.
But it's like. But is a vaina, is an equivalent also, like maybe, you know, Cubans use coño for everything.
I think coño. It's like we use coño. I use coño all the time. Sadly, I use coño now all the time. My kids are like, mama, you know, like, we know you're cursing. I know you're saying it in Spanish, but like, everybody knows you're cursing. But yeah, it is. It's kind of like that. It's not as hardcore, you know, like I think
coño's, I know, like, for us, it's like, it's a very, you know, I don't know what is the rating of your podcast, but it's like, you know, for me, everybody's like, when I say Panama, that I'm from Panama, they say chucha madre, which is like, that. It's the alter ego. I was like, yeah, sure. But it's like,
yeah, no, it's
but,
like,
but
it's
they
like
get it from this boxer. Yeah, they get it from this boxer. And that's how they say it. They're from Panama. And then they say, beep, beep. That's the word.
Well, it's X-rated today. Our podcast, yes, is X-rated today. Not for, that's not usually, for everyone.
That's usually how I'm greeted when I say that I'm from Panama. They're like, Madre de Piedra Durán. Okay, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, listen, Yobi, it's been awesome talking to you. I am, yes, so glad that we're connected.
We made it, you happen. Know,
let's do it again. Let's do it. Like, let's interview someone together. I think that's what we should do for the next one. But okay, you know, let's find one of our listed influencers that we just mentioned earlier and you know, tag team or something. But it's been awesome. I love your energy. I love your accent. I love everything about you. Your hair.
I'm working on it.
It's all good. It's all good. Keep it going. And let's do this again.
Yes, definitely. I'm so thankful that we made it happen. And you're tú eres super adorable, super adorable.
Gracias, igual. Te adoro, te amo, te doy un abrazote, you know, de aquí.
Oh, you said virtual hugs. Virtual, that's what you said.
And then, you know, until next time. Incomodio.